Amen. What's happening, Church of Hope family? How are we doing this morning? All right, that's about half of you. Come on, how are we doing this morning? Everybody good? Amen. And it's such an amazing atmosphere that was in this place today that as they worshiped and as they declared that Jesus changes everything. And I love what Holly said. She said the atmosphere of heaven is worship. So today I just want you to do something. I want us to stand to our feet, if you will. Come on, stand to your feet and lift both of your hands. And let's just lift the name of Jesus in this place. We don't have to have a musician. We don't have to have anybody leading us today. Come on, somebody declare that his name is higher. Lift your voice and shout, Jesus. Come on, you change everything. Your presence changes everything. Somebody just worship him today. Thank him for his presence. Thank him for his goodness today. God, we worship you and we do release the atmosphere of heaven, which is an atmosphere of power, which is an atmosphere of worship, which is an atmosphere of glory. May heaven come down today and touch earth. May lives be transformed in this place today, all for your glory and all for your honor. We worship you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout, Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Amen. Why don't you turn around and high five about three or four people and say, it's a good day. It's a good day to be alive. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Nothing like an atmosphere of power, an atmosphere of anointing is in this place today. And we are continuing this summer series we're in this morning. I love this series, and as you see that, it is Jesus on Snapchat, discovering his moments, the moments of his life, the moments that we read in his word as they are manifested in our lives. So I love this series. And so the idea of this series is that if one of the disciples had a smartphone, all right, back in Jesus' days, all right, that they would post the pictures. They would post pictures of him healing. They would post pictures of him transforming and changing lives, all right, and they would snap those pictures. So that is the idea. And I can tell you, if I was one of Jesus' disciples back in the day, I would have probably been the social media guy, all right? I would have been, Jesus, let me take the pictures. Let me log your story, because I do love most of social media what happens. All right? I love when we speak life. I love when we use it for a tool to magnify the king and to make him famous. I don't like it when we get all negative and fuss and fight and all of the junk that we can sometimes read on that. But I love it that we can use a platform that he has given us all for his glory. So, do you remember when Facebook, I think that was one of the first social media apps that came out. Do you remember? I think it was back in, 2004? All right, it's been that long ago when Facebook came on the scene, back in 2004. And the way we updated our status, we would say, it would say, Mark Groover is... All right, that was how. Mark Groover is whatever, is eating supper. Mark Groover is hanging out with friends. Mark Groover is at Church of Hope. Or Mark, some of the guys would take our phone. Mark Groover is in the bathroom currently at this time, all right? Just stupid stuff like that. And then in 2006, a new app came, all right, and it was called Twitter. How many of you use Twitter in here? Anybody use Twitter? All right, there's a few of you. So Twitter, you had to say what you were going to say. They limited you. You had to say what you were going to say in 120 characters, all right? And if you were Twittering or if you were using Twitter, it was called tweeting, all right? You were tweeting something out there. And then in 2010, this is my personal favorite, all right? Instagram started, and you were able to post pictures, all right, of your life, pictures of your family. It started pictures of what you were eating, okay, or pictures, whatever, all right? And I love that. And then finally, in 2011, Snapchat, which is what we were talking about today, came on the scene. And you could take pictures or short videos, and in 24 hours, they will disappear. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason I joined Snapchat is because I have three older kids, and I wanted to find out what was going on in their life, all right, with this younger generation. So me and my wife, we've got Snapchat accounts, and so I can check out, hey, Ethan is doing this, yeah, before it disappears, all right? That was the reason I joined, because in 24 hours, it's gone, all right? You can't get it back, and you can't see that. So I love that. And matter of fact, why don't we haven't done this. We've been talking about doing this all series. Take out your smartphone or your dumb phone or whatever you want to call it, all right? And let's take a picture. You can take a picture of your neighbor. I love when we can use social media to evangelize, to disciple, to invite people. So today, I'm going to take a little video of you, all right? And I'm going to post this a little bit, and I'm going to tell everybody, if you miss the 11 o'clock service, you miss the best service of the week, all right? So whatever you got to do, take out your phones. Come on, all around. You can snap your neighbor. I'm going to take a video. Everybody tell Instagram world, say, what's up, Snapchat? We're at Church of Hope. Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise. Amen. Maybe that will save. Amen. Amen. All right. That was your permission. All right. That's the only time I want you doing that. No, we're just kidding. So, but I love that now we're able to read stories. All right. You're able to read people's posts. And what we call that is news feeds. All right. You're able to go back and you'll see people. You know, I do it myself. I'm guilty. I'm just scrolling, taking my thumb, scrolling. All right. They're doing this. They're doing that. And if we're not careful, we'll spend hours. An hour will go by. All right. Hours will go by, and we're just searching. We're reading what everybody else is posting. We're reading. And then we will start comparing. All right, we'll start comparing, or we'll get down and depressed because we see so-and-so is traveling the world, and I'm stuck right here in Meadland, all right? Or you'll see, hey, man, they've got this, they've got it made, and that's not happening in my life. And the enemy will use that for you to start judging or to start comparing to them. So just a side note, all right, this is for another message, but we need to stop comparing our behind the scenes to everybody else's highlight reel. Amen? Because that's really what it is, all right? You know how many of you, I know you got to take the right picture. It may take you 6 times to take a selfie. Well, that's not the right. I know some of the ladies, they're like the angle's got to be just right, and you'll take, because you want to put your best out there for people, amen? All right, that's what we do. So we put our best. We don't let people see the ugly. We don't let people see the everyday normal life. So we put our highlight reel out there for folks to see. All right? Or we look and we see their highlights. We see behind the scenes, man, I'm struggling. Behind the scenes, I don't have that. And we start comparing. All right? And the enemy would use that. So be careful. Be careful spending so much time on that phone and in the news feed. Well, God has given us something that we can read, whether you read it on a smartphone, but I would say this is a what? This is a Bible. Somebody say Bible, all right? And right here, we have all the stories we need. Right here, we have all of the current news feeds of what's been happening, all right? And I love that we can break open this word and we can read what happened 2,000 years ago and we can apply it to our lives today. Can I get an amen? Amen. This right here is all you need. So the picture we're going to look at today, the Snapchat we're going to look at today, comes from Mark 14. I believe in your notes it may say 13, but I gave the wrong reference, but it's Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. So if you have your smartphone, all right, whatever way you're going to read your word this morning or your Bible, would you open that today, and we're going to read it together. Mark 14, 3 through 9. Verse 3 says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, and we find there, Jesus did not rebuke a whole lot, you know, in what in his story. But right here, he said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them good. But me, you don't have me always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. What this woman has done will be told as a memorial, will be a memory, all right? Will be where she will be remembered for her sacrifice. What would you do if $20,000 got dropped in your lap today? What would you do if you go to the mailbox tomorrow afternoon when you get home from work and there's a check for $20,000? Or somebody walks up to you today and, oh, blessed be the Lord, they got $20,000 in cash and they hand it to you. Maybe you give, hopefully you would give some of it to the church. You would pay that tithe. That would be $2,000. Maybe you're a student in here and you've been through college. Maybe you want to put that on your lawns, all right? Make a payment there. Maybe some of you would want to put it a little bit extra on your mortgage. Maybe you want to save a little and then splurge on a nicer vacation this year. Or maybe you want to catch up. And some bills that need to be paid, and you said, I'm going to do that. It would certainly be a nice problem to have to figure out how to spend it. Mary decided to give it all. Mary decided to give it all. $20,000 is how much Mary pours on Jesus. Now, this is relating to our day, all right, our day. This is how much she poured on Jesus. The oil, according to John's gospel, is worth 300 denarii, 300 times a laborer's daily wage. In today's currency, that's $8 an hour, 8 hours a day for 300 days. It comes up to about $19,200. All right, let's just say $20,000. Let's round it up. $20,000 of precious perfume that Mary chose to pour out on Jesus' feet. And the whole smell of that filled the house. What a beautiful picture we have here of surrender as we look at this snap, as we look at this story of surrender in worship. And being worship pastors here, Gina and myself, it's our desire for our church to grow. It's our desire for our church to understand the importance of personal worship, all right? Something you do one-on-one, your own time with God, with Jesus, your own time getting along with Him, that is very important. And the importance of what we're doing when we come together corporately as a church, all right? That we're not just wasting time, we're not just filling time. So it's our desire over these next few months that we're gonna teach and expound on that a little bit. So I pray this morning that this picture is gonna help us see just that. Because I believe that God never separates His presence from His process. And you've got notes right there with you today. And as Pastor said, if you'll take, you'll be blessed, all right? You'll be highly favored if you take notes today. I hope I'm going to say some things today that's going to help us. So God never separates His presence from His process. And the process of coming into His presence is the very thing that prepares our hearts and minds to enter through the veil. God has given us permission to come to Him, all right? Those that worship Him in spirit and in truth, all right? He's given us permission. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. As Holly said, and she prays, the sacrifice has already been made. Jesus has paid it all. So He has given us permission, all right? He's given us permission to come to Him. What a tragedy it would be today for us to have the ability to worship God freely, but not come and worship Him freely. It's been freely given. What a tragedy it is if the church, if we have been given the ability to worship him free, to have freedom to worship. The freedom is here, but not worship him freely. And I believe that as a worship community, that we have embraced God's permission. All right, we understand there's nobody standing here over us like there are in countries all around this world telling us you can't say the name of Jesus. You can't declare that Jesus changes everything. Nobody is telling us. So I believe that we understand there's permission, but we have not taken the time to learn the process. We understand God's given us the permission, church, but we haven't taken the time to learn the process. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 100. He said, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It is he who has made us, and we, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with," come on, "with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." We must remember, church, that we are to minister to God. Worship is not just simply for us. It's not just simply about us. It is for God. We were created. It says, "Make his praise glorious. Come before his presence with" what? "With singing." It is for God. And I believe that we have sometimes failed. We have somewhat failed to understand that, and we've made it about us. We've made it about us. We've made it about our preferences. We've made it about our taste. We've made it about our comforts. We've made it about our opinions. And I want to tell you this today, may we not market to man what was meant to minister to Jesus. Come on, come on, you think about it. May we not market to man, may we not be here to please man, but may we understand that our worship is all about him. It's all about him. And I'm thankful today, church, that as we worship him, as we minister to him, that he ministers to us. Our worship helps us refocus. It helps us realign. And so that's what I think this story is going to help us do today. So three things I want to talk to us about, and I believe it's going to help us grow. Tell somebody around you, say, "Are you ready to grow?" Come on, tell three people, say, "Ready to grow." Let's grow together. Let's grow together. Number one, sacrificial worship. Sacrificial worship. A key principle to worship is that it will cost you something. It will cost you something. The disciples here are worried about the monetary value of the perfume Mary pours on the feet of Jesus. They see it as wasteful, while she and Jesus view it as the cost of worship. You look at it right here in verse 4 and 5. Verse 4, it said, "But there were some who were indignant among themselves." In other words, they were chattering, all right? They were complaining. They were griping among themselves. And they said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it may have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. They criticized her for her worship. They criticized her for going over and beyond. I can promise you, as we read this, I believe that she bore the cost of worship that she displayed. She bore the cost. She knew the cost. This kind of possession was probably given to her, as historians say, maybe by a father. Maybe it was purchased for her by her father. In keeping with women of that day, there was probably one or two things that she had planned to do with this possession. Either it was going to be used in her wedding, or it was going to be used probably in her funeral. so that in the embalming process, it would be used to prepare her passage out of time and in eternity. The worship she displayed was greater than finance. By her actions, she was surrendering her personal plans. And I believe if Jesus wins a heart, he's won the whole person. Come on, I believe that. If Jesus wins a heart, he's won the whole person. And if worship isn't from the heart, I would ask you the question, then is it worship at all? If worship isn't from the heart, is it worship at all? It is impossible to truly worship Jesus and leave the same way that you came. Come on, I believe it's truly impossible to come and worship Jesus and not leave changed. You can come to a worship service and you can say, I come all the time. I come every week, but I still have the same problems. I come all the time. All right, I still walk away here feeling defeated. All right, but I will submit that when you truly worship Jesus, that it will help transform and change your focus. It will get your minds off of your problems. It will get your minds off of what's going on in your world, and it helps you to refocus. I say it all the time, the old hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world, the hymn says, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory, in the light of his grace. It will cost you to worship Jesus, and that cost is change. What do you need to surrender to him today? What will it cost you to worship him? What do you need to lay down? What do you need to give up? Because I believe that transformation happens in the presence of God from the inside out. We may not see it on the outside, right? It's easy to get caught up in, well, what they don't look like they're worshiping, or maybe they've all got it together, but we don't see the inside. We don't need to see the heart. Transformation happens in his presence from the inside out. Number two, secondly, I believe we need to offer him significant worship. The purpose of worship is to exalt Christ. And again, if we're not careful, we can make it about us, about our preferences, about our taste, about our comforts, about our opinions, and we expect it to minister to our needs. But I want to remind us, it's not about us. It is about Jesus. It is about God. Psalm 66, verse 1 through 3 says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise. It didn't say make man's praise. It says make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. That's not Mark's word. That is the word of God. The importance is not the form of worship, but the object. What is the object of our worship? Come on, the importance is not the form of worship, but the object of our worship. He is enthroned among the praises of his people. And I want to tell you today that where God is, anything is possible. Somebody shout anything. Come on, where God is, anything is possible. Healing happens in the presence of a healing God. Salvation happens in the presence of a Savior. Captives are set free in the presence of a deliverer. Growth happens. Transformation happens. Callings are heard. Prayers are answered. And where God is, come on, shout anything. Come on, shout anything. Where God is, anything is possible. Do you believe that today? Anything is possible. Where God is, where his presence is, there is life. There is victory. When Jesus enters our situation, the method of worship should never surpass the purpose of worship. And if it does, then you are no longer worshiping Christ. You are worshiping a style. You are worshiping the act, or possibly even the individual leading worship. And that is not our hope here at church. That's not our what we desire here at Church of Hope. We want you to understand that your worship is all about Him. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter who's leading. When Jesus is in the house, that's all we need. Amen? He is going to use that vessel. All right, so let's not put our eyes on man and put our eyes on flesh. If you notice that the people around Mary, they didn't approve of her style of worship. They think that she was behaving irrationally. They are focused upon her style. They are focused upon her instruments and not the one that she was worshiping. Jesus was right there in the room with her. Jesus was there in the room. The Messiah was in the room. The Deliverer was in the room. The Healer was in the room, but they still didn't see it, all right? They had their eyes on man. They had their eyes on what they thought was wasteful. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy for us to criticize. It's so easy for us to be judgmental. I know in 25 years of music ministry in Gene and I's life, there have been many times when maybe they didn't sing, maybe they were singing with a banjo. Maybe it was country, maybe it was Southern gospel, all right? Maybe it may not have been a big church. It could have been and there were times when it is easy, or there are times where I have criticized, or I have stood in judgmental, but I can promise you this, every time Jesus said, you don't know their heart. The Spirit of God will speak, you don't know their heart. All right, it's a beautiful sound. It's an aroma of worship ascending to my throne room. So I don't want us to be a church that criticizes. It doesn't matter what style. It doesn't matter what song, if it's not your song. It is all about Him. And let's remember, it's all about the One. Jesus pulls them back. He pulls them back to the purpose of worship. And He says in verse 6, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Worship recognizes the presence of Jesus. It celebrates not only what He has done and who He is, but that His presence is with us. Somebody say, His presence is with me. His presence is with me. His presence is with me. A true encounter with Him should make you want to be like Him. A true encounter with Jesus should make you strive to live like Him. A true encounter with Jesus should make you want to be, we should be imitators of Him in all that we say and all that we do. As most of you know, Gina and I, we have four children. And I believe they are who they are today because they have watched Mom and Dad in good times, and they've watched Mom and Dad in bad times. They've watched our lives, and they've seen when we pressed in and when we've worshiped. They've seen when we're hurting. They've seen when we've been broken. They've seen when everything doesn't look pretty, all right, as the world thinks on there. They've seen us come before the God and understand that an encounter with Him has changed us. And I believe they are who they are because of the grace of God and because they have been imitators of His presence. And our little one, Addison, she's 8 years old. And when she was around 3 years old, we videoed this, and she was walking around in the room right there in the little music room, and we were playing, and she started lifting her hands, and she started singing, and she started declaring, said, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do, Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around, and she would start singing, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. And she was just what she had her eyes closed, and she was worshiping, and she was connecting to God. And I believe that was something she saw in her brothers and sisters, or older. I believe she saw that in us. You're always going to imitate the object of your affection. When He's the center, when you understand the One is in the room, He is in your life, He becomes your world, He becomes the center of your life. And I believe Mary understood the purpose of worship. After all, we read another account in Luke 10, and it said, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Martha served. Remember, worship is about exalting Christ. If you are so busy with activity that you cannot worship, then you and your activity are the focus of your worship. Come on, you think about that. If you are so busy with activity that you cannot worship, then you and your activity are the focus of your worship. Both Mary and Martha were believers in one true God, but their walk possibly was not the same. And what I'm not saying that serving is a bad thing, but I believe that Mary knew how, whereas I think Martha knew him. Because Mary got agitated when you read the story. Mary got, Jesus, I'm here doing all this work. I'm here serving. I'm here making preparations while Mary is just sitting at your feet. And what did he say in the last thing? He said, Martha, one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And I believe relationship with Jesus is the foundation of our worship. You read it in Psalm 27 and 4. King David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Relationship, relationship. As you pray, as you open the word, you're building that relationship and you're understanding that it is all about him, that he is the center of your life. It must be all about him. May we not be distracted by everything else. May we not be distracted by all the other man or all the other things, that flesh or the world, by gaining riches, by gaining wealth. When Jesus said, may I be the one thing, may I be the one thing in your life. And church, I would encourage us, one thing, let's press in and make him the one thing. Make him the one thing. Make him be the center. Let him be the center. So not only must our worship be sacrificial and significant, thirdly, it must be sustaining worship. And one of the amazing things about this encounter between Mary and Jesus is this lingering reminder that as she wiped the perfume from his feet, she infused that perfume into her hair. And I believe that as she left, that smell went with her. And I think that is such a beautiful picture of worship and its lingering effects. That when you have truly encountered Jesus, when you truly worship him, you leave changed. And it's not just for that moment. You leave changed, that his presence goes with you. The Spirit of the Lord goes with you, and it's a lingering effect, and there's power in that. This week, as Holly said earlier, we've been in California with the students with National Fine Arts, and I had to fly by myself. The students flew on another flight, so I went along. I don't like to travel by myself. I don't like to fly by myself. So I've never been to L.A., and my phone was about to go dead. And I needed to get an Uber or a taxi, all right? And I'm like, it was going to be an hour drive. So I am on edge, all right? I am, Lord, let this phone stay. So finally, I booked it. The Uber came, all right? And his name was Augusto. Augusto was a great guy, all right? So we got in, and I said, Augusto, I need a cable to charge my phone. It's about to go dead. Do you have a cable? Yes, yes. So he gave me the cable. I plugged it in. Started charging, sitting there, was texting. I think I may have texted Gina and said, all right, I'm here. I'm arrived. Everything's good. I got an Uber. Hopefully, and sometimes with Uber nowadays, it's a little weary. You don't know if the driver's crazy, and the driver doesn't know if you're crazy, all right? And you don't know what's going to happen. So I was a little on edge. So I'm texting, my phone's charging, and all of a sudden, worship music started playing. And I text Gina, and I'm like, Gina, I think this guy is a Christ follower. He started playing, and it's some of the songs we sing, and the atmosphere of that car, I was like, the uneasiness left, the fear that may have been there left, and I'm like, man, yes, pray. And I said, Augusto, are you a Christ follower? He said, yes, yeah. I don't think he understood me. Yes, yeah, and, all right. And he said, you love music? I said, yes, I love this music you're playing. I said, a matter of fact, I said, I'm the worship pastor at our church, and we sing and we lead people to his presence, and we do that every week. So I said, I can't believe you're playing this. And, you know, I go back to texting, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing my texting come through his speakers. You hear, you know, when you text, I'm like, why is that coming through his speaker? So I'm texting Gina, and I'm like, man, this guy, I believe he loves Jesus. So I was going to share. I said, he already knows him. I don't have to leave. And then I unplugged my phone, and that music that was playing stopped. So I didn't know it, but Augusto wasn't playing Christian music. It was Mark. It was my playlist playing worship music. And I thought, Augusto, I'm saying, God, yeah, me and him, we on the right path right here. So Augusto was like, you like music. You're going to play your own music. Okay, you don't want to listen to mine. But it did. It taught me a simple truth that, man, worship or our personal, it doesn't have to be music. All right, it can be just you simply lifting your voice and saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I worship you, all right? It can change the atmosphere of your life. When we worship him, when you worship him, fear has to go. I believe that. When you worship him, I believe sickness makes way for healing. When you worship him, I believe that heaviness makes way for joy. When you worship him, I believe that resurrection power can step into the room. When you worship him, I believe that death makes way for life. When you worship him, I believe oppression makes way for liberty. When you begin to speak the name of Jesus, when you begin to declare his power, his might, and make his praise glorious, I believe he will begin to transform right where you are. Can I hear an amen? So some of the most powerful moments in my spiritual growth in my life are connected with a worship experience. Some of those moments happened in a church setting like we are today, where it was a song or where it was a message that was spoken. And it was for such a time as this. It was a rhema word, or there was something in this song that showed me who I am or helped encourage me, or it was a word that was spoken over this house. Yes, Lord, you know how we get sometimes. Ooh, I wonder, has he been watching my post or something? You know, your toes get stepped on, all right, but you believe, man, that was for me. That was for me. There are lingering effects of his presence. What makes those times even more essential is that we grow from them, and that their effects, they're going to go with us. They're going to linger with us. Just as she was wiping his feet with her hair, she was taking that, and you know, in the Bible times it said the woman's hair, that was her glory. All right? So she was taking her glory, she was surrendering all that she had, and she was worshiping him. And in Luke chapter 7, we read of another account. Another woman, the Bible says it was a sinful woman. And some scholars believe that this was possibly Mary Magdalene. But where this sinful woman came into his presence and began to break open her alabaster box. Don't know how she got it. We don't know what was happening in her life. But we do know that she pressed in. She come in the crowd, and I believe she came, and she didn't care. She didn't care what they were saying. And she began to wipe his, the Bible says she begins to wipe his feet with her tears. And she broke open her alabaster box, and she began to worship Jesus. A sinful woman's life was totally rocked and changed because she chose to worship Jesus extravagantly. And at the end of that story, we read Jesus told her, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. A real encounter with Jesus will change your life. And the fragrance of each of those worship experiences in our life, they're going to change us. And my prayer is, our prayer, that it won't be something that is a one-time thing, that as you worship him, it doesn't stop when you walk away. It doesn't stop when you get up and you leave this service. His presence lingers with you. His presence will go with you. Worship, church, is not just something we do at 9 o'clock for 20 minutes. Worship is not something we do on a Wednesday night from 7 to 7:30. All right? It's not a time filler. All right? Worship, I believe, is a way of life. It's a way of life. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And we are people called to worship Jesus every day of the week, to sacrifice in our worship and to make worship a significant portion of our lives, and to understand that that worship encounter is going to sustain us. Spending time in his word is going to sustain us. Spending time in the presence of Jesus is going to sustain us. So you may have come here today. You may be a critic. You may be an overactive individual. You may be a self-focused consumer, or you may be a grateful worshiper that is at the feet of Jesus. You have come maybe in one of those ways today, and you know, that's all right. But the real question is, how will you leave? How will you leave? Why don't we stand all across the house today? I'm going to ask our altar team, if you would, to come forward. Those that are prepared to serve communion, if you'll come forward. You may be here this morning, if you will bow your heads with me all across this place. You may be here today and you say, Mark, I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about. I don't know what worship is. I've never had an encounter with him. But I want it. I want to be transformed from the inside out. And if that's you today, if you're in this place, and that's your heart, nobody's looking around. If you would just lift your hand in this place and say, Pastor Mark, would you pray for me? I need a change. I need to choose Jesus today. Anybody in this house, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I see the hands. Amen. Thank you, God, for people surrendering. Amen. I see you, sister, in the back. Amen. I see you, brother. Come on. Come on, you say, I want to change. I want to choose Jesus. I want to know this Jesus in a more intimate way. Come on, anybody else this morning? Anybody else, you want to make the choice? You want to make the choice? You want to say, I choose him because I know he chose me? Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. I believe there are other people in this house who you may know him. But I believe God is wanting us to grow. I believe God is wanting to transform us. I believe God is wanting to take us deeper in the knowledge of him and higher as we spend time with him. So I want all of us to lift our voice, and I want us to pray today. We want to make Jesus our Savior. We want to make Jesus Lord of our lives today. So if that was you and you raised your hand, I want you to not be ashamed, and I want you to open your mouth and just pray this out loud with me today. And church, all across this place, let's join them. Dear Jesus, I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior. I choose you today because I understand that you have chosen me. I give you my yesterdays, I give you today, and I surrender my tomorrows, and I lay them at your feet today. Restore me, heal me, set me free. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen, amen, amen. Can we put our hands together and give him praise for that today? Amen. If you're here this morning and you said, yes, I choose Jesus. There's somebody here who wants to agree with you in prayer, and they have a book that they want to give you today. If you want to learn, if you want to grow in Christ, it's called Now What? And we want to give that book, we want to put that book in your hands this morning, and we want to help disciple you, and we want to help you to grow in your faith. Also today, you can stop by. You heard Holly say this next Sunday is Beach Baptism Sunday on the 20th, and it is going to be an amazing time. And if you chose him, and if you've never been baptized, or maybe you're here today and you feel like I need to be rebaptized, you can go out to that Fresh Start booth and you can sign up, write your name down. They'll give you that book. They'll give you some information, and we'll help disciple you and help you move forward in Jesus this morning. And then also, we have communion ready, the body and the bread, and we want to take time today to remember his sacrifice. So as Pastor says, I love that. If you're a Christ follower today, we want to open that up to you today. This morning, you may have a desire. You may want somebody to pray with you. You may be hurting. You may be broken, and you just need somebody to help come around you and agree with you that Jesus is going to make it better. I love what we declared today. Jesus, you change everything. And I believe that Jesus, he changes everything today. So we want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. And then if you're a guest here today and this is your first time visiting with us, it is an honor and it is a privilege to have you here today. We have some folks back here in this VIP room to your left that want to meet you, that want to give you a gift today. They want to wrap their arms around you and get to know you. So I invite you to step back there and spend some time with them. These altars are open this morning. Communion is open this morning. I just encourage you to come today and let's seek his face. And as we do that, I want Gina to come, and I want her to sing this song of that story of that alabaster box being broken up. Amen. Let's move today.